The Demoniac of Gadara, Chapter 34. On the other side of the Sea of Gennesareth, just across from Capernaum, lies the city of Gadara. During recent days, the vicinity of this city has been unsafe. Unsafe? Why? By whom? Is the neighborhood infested with robbers? No, not that, but a man possessed by a devil lives in the surrounding country. In the Gospel of Matthew, we read that there were two who had a devil. Mark and Luke mention only one. It is certain one was the most prominent, and because Mark and Luke continually tell us of one, we will do the same. The inhabitants of Gadara know this grievously afflicted man. Luke says he was a man of the city. However, for a long time, this man did not live in his home because he was possessed by a devil. He now has his home among the tombs. No, that is not what we read. We read that he lived in the tombs, not among the tombs. How can that be? How can he live in the graves? If we think of the graves in our cemeteries, it cannot be. The graves in Israel were different from ours. Many mountains were in the land of Canaan, and in these mountains were many caves and holes. Just think of the cave of Machpelah, where Abraham buried Sarah. When David fled from Saul, he entered a cave, the cave of Adullam. These caves often were used as burial places, as tombs for the dead. All the kings of Judah, except a few, lay in the kingly burial tombs. Later, the Lord Jesus also lay 3 days and 3 nights in such a cave. You will hear more about that later. And there were mountains in the vicinity of Gadara, and many caves were in those mountains. In some of those caves, the dead were buried. This demoniac lived in these caves, in these tombs. Such a dreadful dwelling place, isn't it? He lived there among the dead. Whoever came near these graves heard from far his screaming and yelling. Everyone shuddered involuntarily when he heard this gloomy, threatening cry. If one came there early in the morning, he would hear him yell. But not only in the morning, no, if anyone came past there at noonday, evenings, yes, even in the dead of night, he always would hear those horrid screams. We read in the Bible that he was crying upon the mountains and in the tombs day and night. Poor man. The devil did not let him have a moment's rest. Besides, he also mistreated himself. He hit himself with stones. In madness, he pulled his clothing to pieces so that he walked about naked. He hit and battered his naked body with stones until the blood ran out. The devil is cruel, isn't he? However, he not only ill-treated himself, those who came near him were set upon and beaten. He was very cruel. For this reason, it isn't surprising that no one dared go past that way. Those who must go in that direction would rather travel a roundabout journey. Because this was very inconvenient, the Gadarenes decide to put a stop to it. No longer will they tolerate it. This demoniac made the entire vicinity unsafe. Several men of Gadara decide to bind him. Together they go to capture him. When they come near him, he comes rushing toward them like a madman. But they all take hold of him tightly against his will and bind him securely. Now he no longer can harm them. But when they take their hands from him, he breaks the bands to pieces and again is free. Without accomplishing their purpose, they return to Gadara. Their efforts were unsuccessful. However, they do not give up so quickly, and they decide to try it again. With the second attempt, they do not take ropes, but chains. Most likely, they were brass chains, which they undoubtedly thought he would not be able to pull to pieces. Again, the men of Gadara go to him. Again, they overpower him. To be sure, it is no easy task. Wildly, his eyes roll, his teeth gnash upon each other. However, by exerting all their strength, they are able to bind the man possessed by the devils. When they finished binding him, and this afflicted man was seemingly powerless, they wiped the perspiration from their foreheads. But they have him, and that was what they desired. But just look. Even those brass chains were pulled to pieces by him, although the skin was pulled from his arms. Unsuccessful again. Again and again they tried to bind him, but without success. Whether they bound him with heavy ropes or with brass and iron chains, all their efforts failed. The demoniac possessed such a giant's strength, and that he pulled everything to pieces. Finally, they gave up every effort. We read in God's word that no one was able to tame him. Poor, poor man. The devil gave him this unknown strength. This man, possessed by the devils, conquered, and he continues undisturbed to live his terrible life in those gloomy surroundings. Whoever would be in a position to help this unhappy man? Is there no one who can put an end to it? Seemingly not, for the men of the city had attempted it so often, but always without a good result. So, was there no deliverance possible for this wretched man? It is a peaceful, quiet morning. The sun is casting its first rays over the mountains and over the water of the Sea of Gennesareth, which is smooth as a mirror. Still, that same night, it had stormed violently, and the strong winds had swept the water into roaring, seething waves. Now there is nothing to be seen or noticed of the storm. The water is so smooth, no trace of a little wave can be discerned. In this early morning hour, a ship quietly approaches the rocky shore. In some places, the mountains rise perpendicular from the water. However, the people in this boat look for a reasonably level place where they can land. Finally, the boat drags on the mounting bottom of the sea and runs aground. The passengers step out. They are a group of strangers. Who are these men? Ah, you know, don't you? It isn't hard to answer. They are the Lord Jesus and his disciples. They have a tiresome, frightening night behind them. When a few hours ago the storm roared over the tops of the mountains and the water was a boiling, seething mass, they were in danger of losing their lives. They nearly found death in the waves. At least the disciples thought so. But by one word of the Lord Jesus, the roar of the hurricane suddenly ceased, and the tempestuous waves became calm. In a miraculous way, and they had escaped from death, which already was grimacing at them. They now have gone on shore, and, Another danger threatens them. Another danger? What is it? Look over there. In furious haste, a man comes running toward them. He is the man possessed by the devils. From the mountains he noticed this group of travelers. Amid the utterance of rough cries, he speedily races with large leaps from the mountain. Oh, a terrified expression comes upon the disciples' faces. Probably a few decide to go quickly on board again, for this raving madman will murder them. He is capable of doing anything, as they can see on the wild expression of his face and on his flaming eyes, as they can hear from his yelling, which strikes them with terror. They turn pale. However, there is one who does not turn pale. He does not frighten. Composedly, he remains standing and calmly waits for the demoniac. This one man is the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. Will he, the King of Kings, fear the Prince of Darkness? Indeed not. The raving man continues to come nearer toward Jesus. Another 100, another 50, another 10 steps. And then, oh look, the disciples fear he will fall upon the Lord Jesus in furious blind madness. But instead, he falls upon his knees before their master and worships him. Hearken! He is yelling something, and with a loud, hoarse voice, he is saying something. What is he yelling? Read what is recorded in Luke. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. Does this man, possessed by the devil, know Jesus? He cries, doesn't he, Jesus, thou Son of God? O children, the demoniac isn't speaking. It is the devil speaking through him. The devil knows the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, Satan trembles before the King of Kings. I beseech thee, torment me not. These words also are spoken by the Prince of Darkness. The devil knows a time will come when he will be tormented eternally in hell. He knows it, he believes it, and he trembles for the coming punishment. Do you also believe it? Yes? And can you still live on peacefully and serve sin? Calmly, the Lord Jesus asks, "What is your name?" Immediately, the wicked one answers, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Thus, not only one devil had entered into this miserable man, but many devils reigned over him. The devils tormented this man, but they themselves did not want to be tormented. Jesus commands them to leave this man. They must release their prey. They dare not be disobedient to this godly command. Refuse? No, they cannot do that. Jesus will not tolerate any denial from these cruel enemies. But before they go, they ask the Lord Jesus something, and the Son of God grants them their request. What do they ask of him? A large herd of swine, we would call them pigs, are grazing on the top of the mountain not far from the place where Jesus and his disciples landed. These swine are owned by the inhabitants of Gadara. It could be several heathens lived in Gadara, but if these owners were Jews, they were not permitted to have swine. By owning them, they transgressed the command of the Lord, because swine were unclean animals. The Israelites were not to eat swine meat at all, and they were not permitted to come in contact with those animals. This large herd of swine, there were about 2,000 walking there, was being cared for by herdsmen. These animals either lay calmly upon the ground or walked quietly over the grass. The herdsmen watched over them so they would not go astray. But then, suddenly, a shock goes through these animals. They swing their fat heads wildly. At once they all run in one direction, probably screaming loudly. Just at this place, the shore of the Sea of Gennesareth was very steep. The rocks rose straight up out of the water. As if seized by a panicky fright, all these animals run in the direction of this precipice, and the entire herd plunges from this height into the depth and drown in the water. Momentarily, the water comes into violent agitation. The herdsmen jump up, and they know not what is taking place. Finally, to their great fright and alarm, and they see the last few animals disappear into the deep. They could not save one, no, not one. They stood there completely powerless. It happened so unexpectedly, so suddenly. The herdsmen had taken notice of every movement of the man possessed by the devils. They saw him running down the mountain toward the shore. Oh, they held their breath as they feared for the lives of that company. But what they expected did not happen. They saw, to their astonishment, this wild man fall down in adoration before one of those strangers. And then they saw this same man stand up, and he remained standing. And then, suddenly, their swine began running away, yelling frightfully and plunging into the unfathomable depth. They do not understand what has happened. They flee to the city, and they run as fast as they can to bring the news of what has happened to their swine. Soon they have disappeared from sight. Probably some of you will ask in bewilderment, but what had happened? Why did those 2,000 swine act so strange? Why did they run so suddenly to the sea and plunge into the deep where all were drowned? Listen, but you must be attentive, for this portion is difficult. Still, I will try to make it plain. I just told you the devils who had entered this poor man asked something of Jesus, didn't I? Do you know what they asked? Let us go into the swine, was their request. Why were they so anxious for that? They had to let this man go because Jesus commanded it. From now on, this man would not make the vicinity unsafe. No one would experience the least annoyance from him. Oh, this was a great defeat for these legions of devils. Now they ask if they may go into the swine. Why? What was their purpose? These animals would be able to bring about a dreadful destruction when they became wild and filled with the devils. Just picture to yourself 2,000 swine roaming about, all of them possessed by devils. This would become a great danger to people's lives, even worse than before. That was the devilish plan of these cruel, hellish spirits. And Jesus immediately consents. So, do the devils receive their wish? No. The entire herd is choked in the sea. In the future, they can do no harm. But that was not the intention of the evil spirits. No, their sly plan was to bring about destruction everywhere and to kill people. But it failed. Oh, how in this instance the Lord Jesus manifested his power over the devils. They can do nothing without his permission. He also governs the devils. But why did the Lord Jesus permit the devils to enter the swine? He had a more lofty meaning. In the first place, for the man who was possessed by the devils, not only could he feel he was delivered from his tormenting spirits, but also he could see it. The devils had left him for good. In the second place, it was a lesson for the Gadarenes. They were not allowed to have any swine, which were, as I have told you, unclean animals. We too can learn something from this. The devils have been conquered by the Lord Jesus. The evil spirits can perform nothing, no, nothing, without the permission of God. The Lord Jesus also can deliver you from the power of the evil one. By nature, we all are slaves of Satan. No one can deliver us from his power. The angels cannot do it. Neither can all the people together do it. Only the Savior, the Lord Jesus, has the ability to do it. Therefore, it is so necessary for you to learn to know him as your deliverer and Savior. If that does not take place here upon earth, we will remain under the dominion of Satan. And when we come to die, we will go to hell with the hellish spirits. Do you believe that? Great excitement reigns in the city of Gadara. The streets are full of people. Others come running from their homes, having a frightened look upon their faces and asking inquisitively what has happened. Some are congregating together. A man stands in their midst, and he tells excitedly what he has seen. He is one of the herdsmen who was taking care of the swine and who had fled quickly to the city. A little further away, another herdsman stands, and over there another. Soon it is known throughout all the city. How do the Gadarenes receive this message? Are they glad the man possessed by devils finally has been delivered from his great misery? Oh no, alas, they are not. They think more of their swine than of their fellow townsmen. They have lost their swine, never to return. All have drowned. Such a great loss. Wouldn't it be possible to save anything of their valuable possession? See them in large groups hurriedly going to the seashore. Soon they come to Jesus. And what do they see there? They see the dreaded wild man, of whom they were so afraid, calmly sitting next to Jesus. The savage expression on his face has disappeared. The wild rolling eyes are now filled with tears. Tears of thankfulness. There he sits, not naked anymore, but clothed and in his right mind. Oh, really? And they should have congratulated this man, their fellow townsman, with his miraculous cure. They ought to have fallen down in adoration before this great, this mighty prophet. Do they do it? No. Their eyes wander toward the place where their valuable possession disappeared in the deep. At a glance, they see nothing can be retrieved. The water has closed over those hundreds of animals. And then resentment and wrath rise in their hearts. Wrath? Didn't Jesus confer a great benefit upon them? The vicinity of their city is no more unsafe. In the future, they can walk calmly past the graves without being afraid of this madman. They should be thankful. Thankful? They are angry. Those swine are worth more to them than this man, who have been so sorely afflicted. If he still were the demoniac, at least they would have their swine. Please, go away from here, they request of Jesus. Go away from here as quickly as possible. The sooner you go, the better it will be. Yes, boys and girls, so is man. Are you like that too? Are you willing to sacrifice another for yourself? Man is cruel. Man has become exceedingly wicked. This is the answer which the Gadarenes give to this great miracle. This is the thanks which Jesus receives for the good he did. And Jesus goes. He immediately gets up and steps with his disciples into the little fishing boat. They will push the ship from shore. May I also come in? The man who was cured asks timidly. May I go with you? Oh, what went on in the heart of this man cannot be written with a pen. He wants to go along. He wants to remain with Jesus. Is it any wonder? The Lord Jesus answers kindly, No, you must remain here. Go to your relatives and tell them what I did. Go and proclaim the wonders of God performed upon you. Obediently, this man returns. He does not become sad or angry. Neither does he coax to be allowed to go. No, he stares at the ship as it sails away, but the peace remains in his heart. His eyes sparkle with an unknown joy. He returns. No, not to the graves, but to his home. And he begins to proclaim throughout the entire country what great things God had done for him. Wasn't that a terrible request which the Gadarenes had asked Jesus? It is true. The Lord Jesus went away. But a preacher still remained in the land of the Gadarenes, a preacher who pointed Jesus out to them. They did not deserve that. God is great, and we cannot comprehend it. God was good for this man, possessed by the devils, for he delivered him from the bands of the devil. God was good for the unthankful, selfish Gadarenes, for he still left them a preacher. God also is good for such wicked people as we are, for he still grants us life and all that we need. We receive thousands of benefits out of his hand. What is our answer for all these unmerited blessings?